This call is being recorded.
Hey, good morning, Evan.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. Hey, everyone. This is Ian and Evan. This is our weekly NFL podcast with fantasysportsus.com. And we're going to give you some insight into week eight. I can't believe this is the 8th week already. I mean, it's amazing how fast time goes. Well, anyway, I always like to start off with the lines. I always look for cash games. I look for high lines, the over-unders. Anyway, we got Green Bay visiting Atlanta at 52.5. We've got Oakland visiting Tampa Bay at 49.5, and I think that's going to go up a little bit. We also have Kansas City at Indianapolis, 49.5, and we have New England and at Buffalo at 47.5. Monitor the weather up there. There might be snow this weekend up there, so keep an eye on that. Anyway, let's get right into it. Evan, let's talk about quarterbacks. What do you got?
Yeah, sure. Let's start now. If you read the article for the preview article, there was a this slate really had me crossed up in a lot of ways, but the injury news kind of cleared some things up, so I feel actually pretty good about the slate now. As far as quarterbacks go, there's justification in paying up and there's justification in paying down. There's plenty of good options in either tier, so I think there's going to be a very good range of outcomes that you're going to find. Starting with the upper tier, because it's obvious you got to start with that Green Bay game. Aaron Rodgers, I know he costs $8,800 on FanDuel, but he's basically without any running game, the focal point of that offense, distributing the ball around. The last game he played, he had three different receivers with 10 plus targets. He did throw for over 300 yards. It took him a lot of passes to get there, but I mean, you can't really go there wrong there. And then if you want to go on the opposite side of that, Matt Ryan also, even though he doesn't get the volume that you'd like to see in this in most games, this game I could see him getting quite a bit of volume because Green Bay is very good against the run. And Devontae Freeman, even though he's going to get all the carries and all the touches, let's be honest, Atlanta's offensive line isn't Dallas's offensive line, and Devontae Freeman isn't Ezekiel Elliott. So, I mean, we'll get there when we talk to running back because I have a take on Devontae Freeman. But on the top end, you can go there. Then if you're paying down, I really like Jameis Winston and his matchup against Oakland. These games just are typically very high scoring games. And then there's two other guys that really caught my interest, and I was kind of waiting to see what was going to develop along the way. The first guy is Andrew Luck, who is a superstar. We all know that. But what I was really waiting to see was if Dante Moncrief was going to make it back into the lineup this week, which it looks like it does. Now, Dante Moncrief coming back does take a little bit away from T.Y. Hilton, but it does raise Andrew Luck's ceiling. And that was something that I wanted to pay very close attention to. And the most confusing aspect of them all for me this week, which is now crystal clear, was the Cleveland Jets game. You can look at both quarterbacks there. Now, I know everyone hates Fitzpatrick, but if he's ever going to get right, this is the spot he'll get right in. Cleveland has allowed every quarterback to throw a minimum of two touchdown passes. So he's in a dream spot against a terrible Cleveland secondary. And the last place is staying in that same game with Josh McCown, because all Josh McCown does whenever he plays is throw for 300 yards and two touchdowns. And he's dirt cheap. On FanDuel, I believe he's 6,400, and the Jets secondary is horrendous. So that's what I got on quarterback.
Well, I totally agree with you on Fitzpatrick. Cleveland's 1-2-3 in passing touchdowns, fantasy points, and passing yards. They're the worst team in the NFL. So I totally agree with you with Fitzpatrick. And I don't know what his ownership is not going to be as crazy as you think. I think it's going to be between 2% and 4%. So I'm not going to use him in cash, but I think he makes for a great GPP play at 2% to 4% ownership. So, I do like him. Love Ryan. I love Matt Ryan. And what's interesting on DraftKings, his price is only $100 more than it was at the beginning of the year. He's only 7,000 on DraftKings. So if you're looking for value, Matt Ryan is great value on DraftKings. I think, I believe he'll be between 9 and 12% owned. You got, you have Julio Jones, who's matchup proof. The guy is phenomenal. I mean, I know you're paying up for these guys, but, you know, if you need some lock-in points, that combination is going to be huge. Also, a lot of people are talking about Breeze. I personally, at home, he's phenomenal, but I just can't pull the trigger on Breeze this week. Luck, definitely, I like him. And my sleeper for the week, here's my sleeper for the week, is Brock Osweiler. He's been terrible this year. I don't even think he's scored 18 fantasy points this year. But here's a fact. He's at home. He's playing the Lions, who are allowing 24 and 26 fantasy points to quarterbacks on FanDuel and DraftKings. But here's the key. At home, he's faced the Broncos, the Vikings, and the Patriots. Now he faces a defenseless Lions team. If this guy was ever to get right, this is the week to use him. He'll be about 1% owned. I like him with Fuller and Hopkins. So, it's a perfect spot for him. My cash guy, and he's cheap, and he's always been undervalued, is Tyrod Taylor. He's my cash guy. I'm going to play him naked, and I'm going to build a nice team around him. He's in a great spot. He's going to more than pay off his price. He's really cheap. In fact, he is $5,200 on DraftKings. And let's see what he is on Taylor. Taylor is $7,600 on FanDuel. So really the value is on DraftKings, okay? So on DraftKings, I'm definitely going to use him. I'm going to think about using him on FanDuel. But 76 is a little steep for me on him. But that's what I got for quarterbacks. Let's move
on. Can
over.
I add one more thing?
Absolutely.
I want to add one more thing on Brock Osweiler. He was in my player pool as well. I like him a lot. And here's one thing that I just saw as you were talking about him. I was looking at the Detroit's secondary situation, making that matchup even more juicy. Their top corner, Darius Slay, is set to miss this game. So that's a very good spot to look at.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. 2 days, we'll see. Anyway, let's move over to a running back. What do you got in the running backs?
Well, running back is I really – this is a tough spot for me. And again, I'm going back to earlier in the week. I looked at the slate, and I'm like, everybody's on certain guys. Where am I going to be able to pivot but have as good of a play? And lo and behold, the top guy on the slate for me at running back is Ezekiel Elliott again. People were off him, and Ian and I were on him. If you remember a couple of weeks ago against the Green Bay matchup, we were saying that the Green Bay defense hasn't been tested, and how do we know how good they are against the run? And I'm going to say the same thing here against Philly. Philly's been a good opportunistic defense. They score a lot of points. They shut down the opposition. I'm not taking anything away from the Philly defense, but Dallas offensive line is the best in football. They have a commitment to running the ball, and I can't see how Ezekiel Elliott doesn't get his touches unless he gets hurt. He'll get his carry, so he gets a couple of passes, in the passing game. He's my top running back play, bar none, if I'm paying up. I don't know if I'll do it in cash, but in a GPP, I'm definitely getting him in there. Then as far as other running backs go, I'm basically playing the situations. And again, this was a lot of watching the injury statuses. This is why things were so confusing earlier, and I keep saying that. Tevin Coleman, they pretty much said he was going to be out, but you never really know until you know. And Devontae Freeman, I got to tell you, I'm not a fan this week. Everybody's going to be on him, and I'm not a fan of him because Green Bay is good against the run. And as I discussed in the quarterback section, I think this is going to just turn into a shootout where they're throwing the ball like crazy. And Freeman will be involved in the passing game, but if you're looking for him to get rushing production, I don't think you're going to get it there. So I rather play down at running back, especially in cash games. Booker is the chalk with C.J. Anderson being out, so we don't have to go there. The other chalky guy is Jacquez Rogers. Tampa Bay seems content to run him into the ground. it seems like a D'Angelo Williams situation where they'll give him 25 to 35 carries. Peyton Barber may cut into that a little bit this week, but I'm not really too concerned about that. Just factoring in price in a cash game for me, it's going to be Booker and Rodgers, because that's going to get me all my stud wide receivers that I want. And Christian Michael is also in a great spot. New Orleans, the Saints, that's Coors Field of football. I have said it since week two that whatever an opposing offense wants to do, they will do. And the thing that I like about Christian Michael a lot more is on the RotoWorld blurbs, it looks like everybody's really high on the Seattle quarterback this week. And he's hobbled. He's hobbled. Russell Wilson has not been running the ball at all this year. He's hurt. He's hurt. Now, he could throw for 300 yards against the secondary, but I have a funny feeling that they're gonna really use Christine Michael a lot this week. So that's where I'm at running back. You could also go Ty Montgomery. He's gonna give you he was a wide receiver. He's been officially transported over to the running back position. So you get more exposure to that game, and you'll get rushes, you'll get touches, you'll get carries, you'll get receptions, you'll get a lot of everything with him. David Johnson, can't go wrong, matchup proof, but I don't think I want to pay up that high this week any old way.
Yeah, no, some great calls there. I definitely agree with you on Christian Michael. New Orleans has allowed the most TDs and points to running backs in the league. That's 32nd in the league. So Christian Michael is in a fabulous situation. Devontae Booker, he's just a plug and play for me this week for cash. I like your call on Jessica's Rogers for cash. The problem I have with Freeman is not that I don't think he'll do well in this game. My problem is he's got a bad hip injury. There's a chance. There's a chance he may not even play. I just read a report this morning. So you
Devontae
got
Freeman?
not Devontae Freeman. So be careful.
Who's his backup? Because that was the other thing that was bugging me. I couldn't find who would be the backup to Devontae Freeman this week.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know right offhand. I'll look in the depth charts, but I just found out this morning. I should have looked it up, but I don't
All
know
right, you keep
who.
talking. I'm going to look it up, okay?
Okay. So we got Ezekiel Elliott, definitely. If you're looking for a high-end running back, he's one of the best in the league. He's going to be 9 to 12% owned. I like it because Dallas is home and they're favored against the Eagles, which are very vulnerable to the run. My other choice, and I don't think he's going to be that high owned, even though he's been doing great, is Spencer Ware. Spencer Ware's in Indianapolis. They're going to use him. He's going to be heavily used here. I have a hunch that, Kansas City is going to really rack up points in Indianapolis this week. And I think Spencer Ware is going to be part of that. I agree with Evan on Ty Montgomery. He's only 6,400 on FanDuel. He's going to get a lot of touches, going to get some passes. He's in a great situation. The thing you want to monitor too, which I really like this guy, is Theo Riddick. He might be back this week. And a couple of weeks ago, he had, I think, 2 weeks in a row where he was phenomenal, but then he got hurt. So monitor that one. Theo Riddick's only 5,900 on FanDuel, and they're going against Houston. Who else we got? Miller. Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller's at home, and he's averaging, let's see, he's averaging 99 yards this year. Texas is favored, and again, against this Lions defense, Lamar Miller can have a field day. Lions are 25th in
All
defense.
right, I got it.
Let me hear it. Go ahead.
All right. It's funny. I was in the lineup section on RotoWire, and no one was even listed. That tells you how unknown these guys are. The guy's name is Teron Ward. He was promoted from the practice roster on Tuesday. And they also signed Steven Ridley, but he's not going to know the playbook at all. So those are the guys that will come in if Devontae Freeman isn't playing. But I also just read another blurb. They said that they were holding him out not for any reason but precautionary, because he's the only real back they have. He does have a little bit of a hip, but they said it wasn't of any concern. He should be get a full run, but they just don't want to take a chance that he gets hurt in practice and be down to nobody.
Okay.
That's what it said on the blurb.
Cool. All right. Great. Thanks for filling that in. One guy, he's a sleeper. Okay. He's a punt play. If you need a cheap running back, I mean, a real cheap one, Robert Kelly, okay, is going to be in for Matt Jones. You know, Bengals have a 23rd, they're 23rd in the rushing defense. Remember this name, Robert Kelly. Okay. That is for the London game on Sunday morning. So if you need a cheap play and you got a spot and you have to plug somebody in, plug this guy in your flex or as a running back in on FanDuel. All right,
Yeah,
let's
I
move
picked him
on.
up on my season long
Oh,
league. It
did you?
was
That's
kind of
funny.
funny.
That is funny.
Yeah.
All right, let's move over to wide receiver. What do you got?
All right, this was the place that was really easy to break down for me this week. I'm basically going for all the studs and the high over under games because especially in cash games, you can fit them with the running back situation. If you're paying down a running back, Julio Jones, plug and play. He's in. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Ditto for Mike Evans. I was looking at Mike Evans' targets over the last couple of weeks, and the shocking thing was he's getting, they just keep going up. I mean, it's not shocking because we know what's going on in that particular offense, especially with no additional wide receivers out there to really balance it out. But he got 18 targets last week, you know, and he's just been a target
That's a lot.
monster. You know, just don't, and he's only priced at 7,900 on FanDuel, I think, or 7,800, something like that. Don't quote me. You check it out. But I mean, this guy should be 9,000 plus just on sheer volume alone. He's in a good spot. I know the Raiders corners, everybody's hyping him up that they're good, but the result that you see on the field every week is they get torn up. So I mean, I don't know how they're rated good, but I don't quite get it. You can't go wrong with Randall Cobb. You can't go wrong with T.Y. Hilton. Although, again, with Dante Moncrief coming back, it might even eat into T.Y.'s a little bit, but T.Y.'s going to eat no matter what. I think the guy that falls off fantasy relevance at this point is Jack Doyle with Moncrief coming back, not T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
So I love T.Y. Hilton. I'll give you a couple of other guys that people just aren't going to play this week, and I don't see why they shouldn't. Brandon Marshall's in a great spot against the Cleveland secondary. He's the number one guy over there. He's in a great spot. Going back to running back for a second, and he's relevant here, is Matt Forte also. Bilal Powell is very
He's
questionable this week,
banged up. Yeah, he's
and
banged up.
he's very banged up, and we didn't mention him in the running back section, and I just saw it in my notes here. He's also very heavily involved in the passing game for the Jets, especially if Powell is out. So, you know, it's a half PPR point on FanDuel, but a full PPR on DraftKings. So he's someone that you can think about using too, and nobody's gonna own him. Terrell Pryor, also great spot. I like him more if we can get a clarification that McCown is in. I like him more. I mean, I don't know. I won't play him in cash. I could tell you that. I'm gonna pay up here. But as a GPP flyer, by all means, you can go after it. And then last but not least, for GPPs, any old way, and if you need salary cap room, I know Ian isn't probably gonna like this, but I do like Michael Thomas and Willie Snead this week. And the reason I do like it is Richard Sherman's gonna take out what's his name?
Cooks,
Cooks.
cooks,
So
cooks.
Cooks. So it's gonna give these guys opportunities to get receptions and Breeze. I agree with Ian. I'm not playing Breeze, but we all know that he's going to throw for 300 yards no matter what. He does that, and especially at home.
Yeah, but who's he going to
So,
throw to? That's the problem.
well, Sherman can't cover everybody, so
Yeah. No, but I'm
I
saying he
think I
spreads
would.
it around. What I'm saying, he spreads it around so much.
Right, but if I had to pick a guy, Michael Thomas has been that guy. He's been getting red zone usage. He's been getting 9 to 10 targets a week at this point. He's only 5,900. Again, not playing him in cash. I'm not playing him in cash. But if you want to go a little different and In my GPP philosophy, I'm going to play Ezekiel Elliott this week. I'm very big on him, so I'm going to have to pay down at one running back spot. And it'll probably be Thomas or Snead, or when we get to tight end, it'll be Fleener. It'll be one of those three guys that I'm going to pay down with.
Right.
That's what I got.
Okay. All right. Well, I agree with you on everything you said. Jones is a plug and play, but I'm not gonna go over what you just said because I agree with everything you said. I do like Fitzpatrick at a slot. It's going against McClain, cornerback McClain, and he's not good. I mean, he's consistent, you know, and I think he'll do really well. I like him for cash. My number one cash guy is Marshall, Brandon Marshall. He's 7,400 on FanDuel, and he's in a perfect spot here. You know, you know, a lot of people saying about Fitzpatrick, but again, they're going against Cleveland Browns. You know, I've heard even talk about, well, if the Cleveland's going to win any game, it's going to be against the Jets. I tend to disagree. I think Cleveland is that bad. They may lose every game this year. They are that bad. So, Brandon Marshall's my guy. Mike Evans, Larry Fitzgerald. I like. Now here's my cheap punt play, and he's not even a punt play because he's in a great situation, and he's only $3,000 on DraftKings, and that's Adam Humphries. Humphries has been getting increased targets every week. He's been flying under the radar. I know he had one really good week this year, but I have a hunch, and he's a punt. You know, he's on the punt team too, so you know he's on the return kicker team. So anyway, if you use Winston with Evans and Humphreys. That is going to be a really low owned stack because you're sticking Humphreys in there and you can plug in some really solid guys. So, you know, look for Adam Humphreys. I also, believe it or not, like Hogan on the Patriots. He's been getting increased targets. He had 8 targets last week. He had 7 the week before. He's at 178 yards over the last 3 weeks. But again, you know, I'm looking for, you know, GPP plays here. These are not cash plays. Okay. Cooper's been getting almost 10 targets per game. Again, a GPP play for me. I love Hilton, like Evan said. And yeah, that's about it. Pryor, the only thing that concerns me with Pryor, he's got a bad hamstring and he's fast. The guy could fly. But, you know, if you have a bad hamstring, how quick can you pivot? So I'd be careful about using Pryor. All right.
One more guy, one
Yeah,
more
good.
guy that we didn't mention, and again, GPP.
Yep.
You know what? I'm struggling with this one too.
Who is it?
GPP and possibly cash game playable if you need the salary room and no one is going to play him, and I'm sticking in that New England Buffalo game. Julian Edelman, been getting double digit targets every week. His foot might be a little worse than we know,
Right.
but the guy is getting the volume, and I don't. I Ian tells me this all the time when we're texting. You don't play hunches. You stick to facts. So I'm sticking to the fact that he's getting 10 targets a week. So 10, 12 targets a week, and he's just not converting them all just yet. And this could be a get right spot for Julian Edelman.
Well, I'm going to have to play devil's advocate here. I don't like him. I have him projected at 10.9 points on FanDuel. He's 6,500. You know, I need at least 15 out of him to even
Agreed.
consider him. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like I'm disagreeing. I don't know. I think something's wrong with him. You know, I
Yeah,
just
there's
think
something
something's
wrong,
wrong
but
with him.
I'm just saying, you know, his price keeps dropping. The targets are there. And again, for everyone listening, let me be clear. He's not my number one, he's not my number two, he's not my number three, he's not my number four. But I'll consider him if I need if I'm having trouble working the salary in. It's not someone that I would just poo-poo based on what I'm seeing in the stat line. Stat
Right.
line is saying one thing, the targets are saying another thing. Somewhere in the middle, we got the truth.
Gotcha.
You know, so that's where I am on him.
Yeah, I'll just stick one more in there. You know, if you're looking for a GPP plays in the highest scoring game of the week is Mohamed Sanu. 4,100 on DraftKings. The guy's a bargain at 4,100 on DraftKings. Not on FanDuel, I'm talking DraftKings. So if you're looking, you know, if you're looking for you know, if you're looking for a punt play in a GPP play, Sanu definitely. All right, let's move over to tight end.
This was another position that was very confusing for me. Because, I mean, Ian, is it just me, or was there just so much up in the air this week? I mean, I know there's things up in the air every week, but this week it just seemed like there was just so much up in the air.
Yeah, there has
Jordan
been.
Reed, Jordan, if you're playing the early stage, Jordan Reed cleared concussion protocol.
Tough,
He
tough.
becomes, yeah, go ahead, say what you're going to say.
No, I'm saying it's tough, tough. I know, Reed's great. Don't get me wrong. He's probably one of the best ever. But six concussions. He's coming back. First game back. What do you think his ownership's going to be?
Nothing.
Me see. I'm going
Nothing.
to see my
Plus, he's
prediction.
on the early slate too. He's not on the main slate, so.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I
No.
mean,
It's a good call. It's a good call.
I'm not playing him unless it's a tournament, and I never really play the all week slate. But I'm just saying, to get Jordan Reed at maybe less than 5% ownership, that's always a good spot to invest in. But sticking to the main slate, this looks like a Gronk week. It really does. When I was diving into the numbers, on the article that I wrote, the primer article, I do that article without any research at all, just to be clear with that. And the great thing about people reading articles and listening to podcasts is someone hit me with an email and said, "Hey, Evan, you better take a look at Gronk. I think you got that one wrong." And he's like, "No offense, I know you do it without any research." And then I'm gonna read a stat line of what Gronk has done against Buffalo. And it's quite interesting. In five games versus Buffalo, here we go. Four receptions, 54 yards, two TDs. Seven receptions, 109 yards, two TDs. Five receptions, 104 yards, one TD. Seven receptions, 94 yards. Seven receptions, 113 for one TD. I guess he does pretty good against New England, against Buffalo.
Definitely.
I didn't think it, but he does pretty good. Then you got Jimmy Graham coming back to New Orleans. And if you believe in getting up for a game because you feel you've been slighted by a previous team, there's your spot right there for him to really go off. And I just see Pete Carroll's the type of guy that will help a guy go off in a spot for revenge. He's that type of coach. I could see him feeding the ball to Jimmy Graham in the red zone, and I could see him feeding the ball to him all game long. Plus, he has a really good matchup against New Orleans. So I love Jimmy Graham. If I can fit him into my cash lineup, I will be doing it. Then it goes downhill very quickly. The cheap guys, Barnage, I love him more if McCown is playing. But just know what you're getting with Barnage. They just don't use him in the red zone. You're getting a very low ceiling type of player. He'll get targets, he'll get receptions. I just he doesn't get red zone usage. You could use him. A lot of people are talking about Antonio Gates. I'm off him. I want nothing to do with him against Denver. I mean, he comes into play, I guess, if Hunter Henry is out due to concussion protocol, because Denver just shuts down wide receivers. I mean, they shut everybody down. So Philip Rivers is going to
The way
have
you get
to.
Denver is through the tight end. I agree.
Yeah. So, but Gates is, he just looks a little slow. So I'm not really wanting to play him. I mean, I don't hate it if you have to. And then this last guy on the cheap, if you have to save money. And I can't say his name, and I'm gonna butcher it, but I'm gonna try. Is CJ Fedowicz from the Texans?
Fedorowicz. Yeah, I love him.
Yeah,
Love him.
I like him for the same reasons that we were talking about liking the wide receivers in the matchup. Trey, it's just they just are not good in the secondary, and they've been getting torn up by tight ends all year long. And at 4,900, you could do worse. Jack Doyle, again, I'm going to avoid him this week. He's going to be a popular play because the industry's been hyping him up the last 2 weeks. I'm going to fade him this week. I mean, that some people might say that's dangerous, but I have no interest in Jack Doyle this week.
No, me either. Me either. I agree with you there. Graham's my number one. Graham, if I can fit him in, I'm gonna plug him in. Gronk is great, don't get me wrong. I'm not gonna pay that price. He's only gotten six almost seven targets a game. Now, I know he's converted them. Believe, don't get me wrong. He's great. But I'm not going to pay that price. I'm going to use Graham before I use Gronk this week.
Yeah, also, just to cut in there for a second, Gronk is GPP. GPP, not cash.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. No, definitely GPP, of course. Fedorowicz at 2,800 is my plug and play for cash on DraftKings. 2,800, 300 above minimum. This guy is increasingly getting more and more targets. He's converting him to touchdowns. Again, he's against Detroit, you know, and they're home. So Fedorowicz is my number one cash guy on DraftKings. I don't know on FanDuel yet. Also, who do I have? Oh, I have Cleese. Cleese I like. Cleese is in the Colts.
Wait, who was that?
Cleese. Travis Cleese. On Kansas City.
Kansas City.
He's playing against Indianapolis. Indianapolis is the worst in the NFL against tight ends. So he's a little inconsistent, but he's in a great spot, you know. So I like Cleese. I also like Fleener. I like Fleener in home. You know, Seahawks are 25th against the tight ends. They're bad against tight ends. So if you're looking for a little sleeper there, Fleener, you know. But that's about it. I'm not crazy in the tight end.
We need to backtrack one spot. We didn't discuss it. You like Travis Cleese?
Yes.
We did not discuss Kansas City with Spencer Ware, that whole situation.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, no. Ware's in a great. Ware's in a great spot. I didn't put him down.
What's your thoughts on that? Do you think Jamaal Charles starts to eat to him again, or is he the man?
No, he's the man. He's a running back. He's a one. Like, he is one of the top running backs. And if you watch some film on him on YouTube, the guy is good.
He's a beast.
So I don't know how we missed him, but I do have him down. I just didn't have him on this show.
Yeah, I have him down too. But it's funny. The bells went off. I said, "Holy crap! We didn't discuss Spencer Ware." And I guess that'll tie into where we're headed next. So go ahead. Yeah. What position you want to do next?
What position do we have? Kickers.
Defense.
defense. Right. Go ahead. Then we'll do kickers.
So Kevin. That's why I remembered Spencer Ware, because as I'm looking for defenses, Broncos, if you can afford them, play them. They're 5,000. It's expensive. What I've seen playing the last 8 weeks is people really have a strong aversion to paying up for defense in both cash and tournament. I think everybody has it grilled in their heads from like the last two seasons. Pay down the defense. But the Broncos are in a phenomenal spot against the Chargers. They're going to want to beat them too, because they lost to them a couple of weeks ago in San Diego. I love that spot. Then it gets a little tricky. I've been burned on New England all season long playing them. I'm not going to play them, even though all the touts are saying to play them. Not going to play him. I was on the Jets until I got McCown back into the field. Mm-hmm. So now I'm off the Jets. I want nothing to do with them. But some of the good defenses that I do like, and they may be a little sneaky, I do like the Cowboys. I do like the Cowboys against the Eagles. Everybody has this notion that the Eagles were a decent offense in the first couple of weeks. Now, they've been putrid the last few weeks. But nobody ever talks about the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And the Cowboys, they may be able to get a little bit of pressure on Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz does not throw the ball. I'm looking at the Cowboys for a lot of different reasons, not just for turnovers and interceptions, although Wentz has averaged a turnover a game. This game is going to be a very slow-paced game, grinded-out kind of game. And if the Cowboys can get a lead some way, somehow, and force Wentz to have to drop back and throw the ball a lot, he might be in trouble, because they usually have him at 30 passes a game. So that game, I have a lot of interest in the Cowboys. They might be my number one defense outside of Denver. And then the last place I want to look is, and this is going to be surprising too, because I don't usually like to take road teams. I like Arizona against Carolina. Carolina, they just haven't been that good. Now, the total is a 48-point game in this game, but I did a little digging yesterday, And the interesting thing that I found, and I'm gonna read it. I gotta find it, is that Cam Newton really does not do well after a bye. He has some of his worst games, and I know it's a small sample size for a short bit, but he's had some of his worst games coming out of the bye. I
Interesting.
mean, check it out. You'll see for yourself. So I could go in there, and then after that, it gets very funky very quickly. So that's what I'm looking at also right
It's
now.
not tough. Defenses are tough to call. I mean, if you
They
can
always
call them
is.
right, you're going to grab some nice points. The Denver defense for me, yes, I agree there. They're home, so definitely Denver. Dallas, I do like that call, 4,600 on FanDuel. I think that's a great call. If you need a cheap defense, like if you need something to plug in, this is GPPs. If you need somebody to plug a team to plug in, use the Cleveland defense. I still say Fitzpatrick's going to throw a pick or two. I do think the Jets are going to win this game, but I don't think Cleveland's not going to score any points, and I think their defense is going to score points for them. So at 4,200, if you need a cheap defense to put in for your GPP, not cash, use Cleveland. Also, who else here? Who else could be interesting is Tampa Bay at 4,200. I'm just looking at that. Again, it's Cleveland. It's Oakland against them, but they're playing at home. I like them a little bit, and that's about it. But Denver would be my cash. Cash defense and Arizona, yeah, Arizona 4,600 is a good call. The only thing is, like you said, I don't like playing defenses on the road. So,
Yeah,
that's.
the only reason I go there is I watched, well, I didn't watch the whole thing game, but I watched what they did with Seattle. I watched what they did with Seattle in that game. And if you look at the Seattle offense and you look at the Carolina offense, it's similar in a lot of ways. And I'll explain what I mean. If Russell Wilson is healthy, you could compare him somewhat to Cam Newton as a running
True.
quarterback. He
Yes.
wasn't healthy. But
Right.
then you look at it, you look at the wide receiver position. Seattle's not overly strong there. Yeah, you have receivers that could do damage, but they basically shut them down. And then the tight end position, Jimmy Graham got targeted, but he didn't do much with it. So he kind of reminds me of Greg Olsen in this matchup. So this could be a sneaky matchup. I mean, they have this total, like I said, at 48 points. I think that
Yeah.
total is going to drop. Now, if that total starts dropping down by points, then you got to really pay attention to that.
Yeah. No, totally agree. All right, let's go to kickers and then we'll wrap it up with some stacks and we'll move on. So what you want me to do the kickers? Or you got them?
You know me on kickers, so yeah,
All
take
right,
it.
I'll get here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give everybody four kickers to use, and they all should
Can
be
you say
solid.
it real slow because I'm going to write them down?
Sure. Cairo Santos on Kansas City.
Okay.
These are my top four. And you use these four, you're going to get points. Okay. Santos on Kansas City. Gutkowski, Stephen Gutkowski, New England. Stephen Hoschka on Seattle. And Nick Falk on the Jets. Use those four. I gave you a range of prices. So, where they fit in. Those four. Use those four. You'll end up with. I have them projected between 9 and 12 points, those four guys. So if you can grab 9 points at a kicker, you're doing well. So
I got
that's that.
one cheap guy. I
Yeah, go
got
ahead.
one cheap guy on the list. And like, I don't discuss kicker. Like, you know why? Because it's the last thing that I'm looking at.
Right.
What's your thoughts on Aguayo?
I don't like him. I was just looking at him. It's funny you said that. The problem, I don't know. Yeah, let me just pull up his game logs.
Tell me why I
Last
heard that, but I just actually.
week he had 10 points. A week before, 9, 1, 2, 1, 1.
Enough said.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's not. Yeah, he had a good week last week, but I had him. Believe it or not, he was like my sixth or seventh guy, and I just took him out of here. So.
If I can ever find a kicker whisperer that gets kicker right every week, send me the email. Send
Yeah.
me the email. Hit me up
Yeah.
because I just don't research kicker. I probably
No, you might
should,
be right
but
about him. You might be right about him. Don't get me wrong. I
no,
mean, he
I
is.
never get kicker right. That's
Yeah.
what I'm saying. I never get kicker right.
He is my sixth top one. I mean, I'm looking right at it, but the other four, and he may well score the most points. But again, you know, I don't know. Then, you know, the Tampa Bay game is a 40-50 point game, so it could be, you know, because again, for kickers, you want to look at high point totals, you know. So, you know, it's yeah. I mean, you know, that's a I'm second guessing myself here because I'm looking at the over under. So let's put it this way. How about he's our fifth one, Robert Aguayo?
So. No. Guys, listen. I mentioned him. Don't listen to me on kicker. Do not listen to me on kicker.
All right, let's throw a couple of stacks out, and then we'll wrap it up.
What do you got? Stacks. We don't need to talk about Green Bay and Atlanta. Everybody's going to stack right. That. We all know to stack that. So let's not talk about that.
Okay.
An interesting stack for me would be the Winston, Rodgers, Evans stack. I like that stack a lot. I could see stacking Ezekiel Elliott with the Dallas defense. I really like that call. Osweiler with Nuke and Fedorowicz. I like that a lot. We didn't talk about Nuke. The industry's real down on Nuke.
Yeah.
And Nuke has just been getting a lot of tough matchups. And I don't believe that he's not the number one over there, not for a minute. And I could see him having a really breakout game this week. I'm going to have exposure to him in GPPs. I didn't talk about him on the wide receiver section. I love that stack. And then the other stack that I really like is going to be Andrew Luck to T.Y. Hilton to where was the other guy? I wrote this. You know, I hate when I write these things down and then I can't find where I wrote it. I like Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton, Spencer Ware, which is a weirder stack, but I like it because I think Kansas City's going to try to ground and pound and have success. And I think the Colts are going to be playing from behind. So that might be my favorite stack of all.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I mentioned this stack earlier in the broadcast here. Brock Osweiler, Fuller, Hopkins. Low-owned. Brock Osweiler, I got him under 1% on this week. So if you're looking, if you want to throw a Millie Maker stack in, use Osweiler, Fuller, and Hopkins. And if they go off, you'll be ahead of the game there. Also, I like, believe it or not, I like Aaron Rodgers with Cobb and Montgomery. And who else do I like? There's one more. Brady with White and Hogan. White and Hogan. If you want an interesting stack, you know, that could be, and it's not an expensive one. So those are my three stacks. And that's about it. You got anything to wrap it up with, or we'll say goodbye?
I have a question for you. I have a question for you because we talk all the time. Mm-hmm. How much time? Now, this is not an NFL. This is not an NFL subject right now. This is actually an NBA subject. How are you balancing your research time between NBA and NFL right now? Because what happened to me this week was I got so caught up in NBA. For opening day, I found that it was cutting into my NFL research. So yesterday, I actually didn't, you know, I played very little NBA. I just basically researched NFL all day because I was feeling queasy about this slate until yesterday. How are you balancing your time between the two sports right now?
That's a great question. After a Sunday at 11 o'clock, I mean 1 o'clock when football, you know, my teams are locked in, I don't look at anything to do with football until Wednesday now. So I don't even start my research on football till Wednesday afternoon because of NBA, you know, so it's very hard. And I spend between 8 and 10 hours of research a day on this. So,
yeah.
You know, baseball was, I mean, when we had baseball, basketball, you know, I was doing a little preseason too on my own. I mean, I was spending maybe 10 to 12 hours a day on research. So, yeah, I don't even look at football now until Wednesday. Before, of course, I did it early because but basketball wasn't around.
There's nothing else to look at.
Yeah, because I can't. You get burnt out. So, you know, I start my research on football Wednesday. I try to do it Wednesday afternoon because I try to do basketball earlier. And then, you know, I wait for lineups to come out and then put my teams together for basketball. But in answer to your question, you got to balance it, you know. And I'm also going to be starting hockey probably next week. So it's going to really get interesting. But yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, you got to balance it. So, you can't just overlap, do football back into
Yeah, you
basketball.
see, and
You got to
that
separate
was
it. You got to separate it. You got to separate it.
that was the thing, because like, this is what I came up with, and I think the interesting part of it is, you don't want to do this half-assed. Excuse the language, but you don't want to do this half-assed, because you're just donating your money to guys that really spend the time and do what needs to be done and find those edges. So like, I'll use a perfect example. A couple of nights ago with NBA, I was going out with friends, and Ian knows this story. And I'm like, should I play? Should I not play? I don't know. I ended up playing, and I'm going to be truthful. I lost. I didn't cash. I cashed maybe 30% of my lineups. It's just I just wasn't sharp enough, and I definitely didn't have Anthony Davis, who I never really saw a guy score almost 100 points in my life. But it's just, if you don't have the time to do it, take the slate off until you have the time to do it, because it's not going to be productive for you.
Right. Yeah. No. And it's funny you mentioned NBA the other day. I had Anthony. I used Anthony Davis on all my lineups. But I scored 393 points, which was by far the highest I ever had in the NBA points. And it's interesting the separation. I was only 18 points away from winning $100,000. So what I'm saying is, that's each percentage point, separates so many of us. I think I ended up like 760 out of
Well,
194,000.
to
But,
add it into perspective of what you're saying, that lineup that I put together that I didn't cash, it was kind of funny, because I ended up with a 304 score. And usually you score over 300, you're cashing in cash.
well, you know
Now,
what it
I
is? It
need to be
shows you. It shows
specific.
you how many people are doing research now. That's why
That's why I'm raising the point
the
here.
bar's moving up. The bar is moving up. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's
So.
why I'm raising that point right now. So
Yep.
do the work. If you do the work, you're going to get the results, because a lot of people, you're going to outwork them. And if you make good plays, you're going to be very successful. But if you don't do the work right, you're really putting yourself in jeopardy.
Yep. And yeah, just one quick thing on the NBA. If you can't monitor up until lock time, 7 or 7:30 on NBA, don't play the NBA, because there's so many different things that can happen. These guys warm up, they sprain an ankle, they got a tummy ache, whatever it is, they get scratched 10 to 7. You get a zero in basketball, you're throwing your money away. So if you can't monitor, if
I'm
you
going to
can't
add one
monitor
more thing.
good.
I'm going to add one more thing. Shameless plug. I'm going to plug the site right now. I'm going to plug Ian, actually. Ian does a great job of getting those flash bursts out when the news breaks. Become a member of the site. If you don't have time to monitor, the site really does a good job. I actually had told Ian on Wednesday, I go, listen, I'm going to be driving from like 6:15 to like 7 o'clock. I'm not going to have an opportunity to check. And he goes, don't worry, you just have the phone. If it buzzes, pull over and take a look at it, and everything. So plug for the site. They always have the up-to-date information in a timely fashion. Ian does a great job of getting that out to you. So, if you what Ian said is basically 90% true. If you can't be there before lock, don't play. And if you are going to play, make sure you're registered with a site that's going to get you the info so what's going on.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up. This again, this is Ian and Evan with FantasySportsUS.com. And we do this every week. And I wish everyone best of luck on this weekend on the NFL. And we'll talk to you next week. Take care,
Good
Evan.
luck, everybody.